Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This episode of Food Psych is brought to you by my upcoming book, The Wellness Trap. Break free from diet culture, disinformation, and dubious diagnoses, and find your true well-being, which is available for pre-order now. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap to learn more and pre-order for its April 2023 release. That's ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap. Welcome to Food Psych, a podcast dedicated to critiquing diet and wellness culture and answering your questions about intuitive eating and the anti-diet approach. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and I'm a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, journalist, and author of the books Anti-Diet, which is available now wherever books are sold, and The Wellness Trap, which will be out in early 2023. And by the way, on this show, I avoid saying diet culture stuff like weight and calorie numbers, but we don't censor swear words or other adult language, so listener discretion is advised. Hey there, welcome to this episode of Food Psych. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and today I'm going to be answering an audience question about how elimination diets can damage your mental and physical well-being, and how or whether to tell a doctor who put you on an elimination diet that it was harmful. I answered this question on the podcast years ago, but I wanted to share it again now because it's so important this time of year when so many people are thinking about going on these kinds of diets. And before I answer, a few quick announcements. This episode of Food Psych is brought to you by my Intuitive Eating Fundamentals online course, which is a 3-month immersion in intuitive eating with dozens of hours of content helping you learn this anti-diet approach, troubleshoot common sticking points, and get to a place of greater peace with food. It also has a huge library of Q&As from me and my team to help answer all the frequently asked questions and some of the more esoteric ones that come up when you're learning or relearning intuitive eating. If you're ready to break free from diet culture and reclaim your right to a peaceful, easy relationship with food, learn more and sign up at ChristyHarrison.com/course. That's ChristyHarrison.com/course. This episode is also brought to you by my second book, The Wellness Trap, Break Free from Diet Culture, Disinformation, and Dubious Diagnoses, and Find Your True Well-Being, which is available for pre-order now. The book explores the connections between diet culture and wellness culture, how the wellness space became a hotbed of scams, misinformation, and conspiracy theories, why many popular alternative medicine diagnoses are misleading and harmful, how wellness culture targets vulnerable people and ignores social determinants of health, and what we can do instead to create a society that promotes true well-being. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap to learn more and pre-order the book for its April 2023 release. That's ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap. Now, without any further ado, let's get into this week's question. It's from Jamie, who writes, "Hi, Christy. This summer, before I had ever listened to your podcast, my doctor recommended an elimination diet to address my health concerns, which included acne, irritable bowel syndrome, headaches, depression, etc. Trusting my doctor, I did not do a lot of research on elimination diets outside of the reading that she specifically recommended. Thus, I embarked on this diet wholeheartedly, removing a huge array of foods from my diet. I did this strictly for a number of weeks. I have never in my entire life, I'm 27, been on a diet to lose weight. Losing weight had truly never been a focus for me and was not something that took up much of my time or energy. I was happy in my body and did not have a lot of stress or anxiety around eating. However, this changed on the elimination diet. While the goal of the diet at the outset was not to lose weight, by the end it became my sole focus. It was impossible for me to eat enough on this diet because it was so restrictive, and I lost a lot of weight very quickly. I went back to my doctor to discuss how to reintroduce the foods I had eliminated and how to watch for various quote-unquote symptoms and identify the quote-unquote bad foods so that I would be able to keep the weight off and remain symptom-free. I would like to note here that this was bullshit anyway because my digestive system had gotten progressively worse over the course of the elimination diet with severe simultaneous diarrhea, constipation, and constant bloating. She literally told me that I actually never needed to introduce any of those foods because I was getting all of my required nutrition from the foods that I was still allowed to eat. This idea was truly devastating to me, and it was when I first started suspecting that something was not quite right. Eventually, I found your podcast, learned about how elimination diets are problematic, and now here I am. Now, although I have reintroduced almost all food groups and I'm trying to return to normalcy, I'm still restricting calories and have found myself obsessed with my body and trying to maintain its new weight. People, literal strangers, friends, and family, now feel like they can comment on my body, basically telling me how fat I was before and how much they like the new me. I'm truly so sad and frankly pissed off that I've been put in this situation by my doctor, a woman I've trusted with my health for many years. I went from having a normal and healthy relationship with my body and with food to having extreme anxiety regarding eating and gaining weight. I'm embarrassed and ashamed to have ever gone on this diet. All this background for a simple question. What, if anything, can I say to my doctor to let her know how upset I am that she put me on an elimination diet? I truly do not want her to continue recommending this to her other patients. And I think it is important for her to know how harmful elimination diets can be. Is it my responsibility to tell her, or should I just get a new doctor and move on with my life and continue trying to recover? Thank you for your response if you choose to give one, and thank you for making this your life's work. I believe you have contributed to so much healing in this world, and I'm so grateful to have found your podcast to help me through my current struggle. So thanks, Jamie, for that great question. And before I answer, I'll just give my standard disclaimer that these answers and this podcast in general are for informational and educational purposes only, aren't a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice, and don't constitute a provider-patient relationship. Also, this is just my take as one dietitian and journalist, and I hope you'll seek out other perspectives and consult your own inner compass as well. So first of all, Jamie, I want to send you so much compassion for your situation. I can tell that you're feeling both angry at your doctor and down on yourself for having gotten into this position. And I want to offer that it's completely understandable and not your fault. So please don't beat yourself up over this because you're not alone. You know, it's so common for people to get into this situation when so many doctors are prescribing elimination diets willy-nilly and frankly being pretty clueless in how to prescribe them. It sounds like that's the case for your doctor, and in my opinion, it's incredibly irresponsible of her to tell you that you never need to reintroduce any of the foods you eliminated, especially given that your symptoms and your relationship with food in your body clearly got worse in the process. So I can understand being angry at her, and I think that's really where the anger belongs, not being angry at yourself. You know, that's not helpful, and you deserve compassion and support for this. You are doing what your doctor told you to do, and that's the reason we go to doctors in the first place, right? Is to get their advice and hopefully get them to help us with our situation. Unfortunately, though, she told you something that was uninformed, because even if elimination diets are going to be used in a therapeutic way, which in my view really is for like a tiny percentage of the population, if anyone at all, those diets shouldn't be continued long term. They're only intended for short-term use to figure out which foods you're, you know, quote-unquote intolerant to, and then all the other foods are meant to be reintroduced. And that's because, as you've experienced, when you cut out a wide swath of foods from your diet, you end up with a really, really limited menu that can cause a lot of problems in and of itself. Of course, it doesn't always work out in practice, right? For, you know, someone to reintroduce all those foods except for the ones they're quote unquote intolerant to. And I use that word in quotation marks because it's often really hard to figure out whether you have a genuine sensitivity to particular foods or whether you're having a nocebo effect when your beliefs and anxieties about particular foods actually cause physical symptoms. As I discuss in Anti-Diet, and I discuss a little bit more in my new book, The Wellness Trap. Another issue with elimination diets, which may not be the case for you, Jamie, since it sounds like you didn't have disordered eating before the elimination diet, but could be true for other people listening to this, is that your body can develop sensitivities to particular foods temporarily because of disordered eating and the way that it wreaks havoc on your digestive system and your gut microbiome. And those temporary sensitivities often do resolve once you heal from the disordered eating and the gut bacteria balance out. In some cases, they persist and you may need help for them independently. But in any case, resolving the disordered eating is an essential part of healing. So it's really important not to stay on elimination diets long term. Even if you do go through an elimination diet and identify sensitivities, they might not actually be long-term sensitivities to particular foods, and they may be caused in the first place by a disordered pattern of eating. And they may dissipate or resolve once you heal your relationship with food. So in those cases, reintroducing the foods that you thought you were sensitive to will be an important part of your recovery. I talked more in depth about all of that in episode 175 of Food Psych with Marcy Evans. So I definitely recommend checking that out, both for Jamie, if you haven't heard it, and for anyone else who's in this boat of trying to navigate irritable bowel syndrome or IBS and other digestive issues while also struggling with disordered eating. This is a great example of why doctors really need to be educated about disordered eating. Even people like you, Jamie, who didn't have pre-existing disordered eating at all, can easily fall into it when they're put on an elimination diet. And we don't really know ahead of time who's susceptible to that, right? So in my view, elimination diets should be used only as a very last resort, if at all. In many cases, especially for people who have known predispositions to disordered eating, I think it's really never a great idea to start an elimination diet. There are so many other things that can be equally, if not more effective for IBS and other digestive issues than elimination diets, like stress reduction techniques and even gut-directed hypnotherapy, which I discussed with Marcy in episode 175. And I think medical professionals really need to know that there are biological, psychological, and sociological issues at play with disordered eating, all of which can be triggered by the restriction and deprivation of elimination diets or really any diet. Energy restriction can cause changes in the brain that drive further disordered eating and obsessive thoughts about food, which in our culture often is accompanied by corresponding thoughts of weight and fears about gaining weight, as has been the case for you, Jamie. So that's the sociological part, right? Which also includes getting praise from people for losing weight. That's diet culture. Now, as I've talked about here before, diet culture is a system of beliefs that worships thinness and equates it to health and moral virtue, promotes weight loss as a means of attaining higher status, demonizes some foods while elevating others, and oppresses people who don't match its supposed picture of health. And all of those things are at play in the situation you described, Jamie. Right? You have your friends, your family, and total strangers complimenting your body because they've been socialized to think that thinness is a good thing and to equate it with health and moral virtue. And they see weight loss as higher status for you. So they're praising it without understanding the real harm that this diet has done to you. Another thing I see a lot in diet and wellness culture is that a lot of random people on the internet, as well as unfortunately some healthcare providers, especially those in more alternative or integrative fields, are making these sweeping connections between all of these disparate, unrelated symptoms. And so in your case, Jamie, that includes acne, IBS, headaches, depression, et cetera, right? These are all very different symptoms, many of them affecting different areas of the body. And yet, the provider connected them all and said that if you just eliminate certain foods, all of those symptoms and issues will disappear. It's a version of the idea that you can just take a magic pill and all your problems will go away, although ironically, the food cure is positioned as the alternative to quote-unquote popping pills, which is looked down upon in wellness culture, even though wellness culture is pretty much saying the exact same thing, that you just eliminate foods as your magic pill. I talk more about this in both of my books, and I also talked about these issues a bit with Alan Levinovitz in episode 94 of Food Psych, which I would recommend checking out. Alan is a religious scholar and has a great perspective on how eliminating particular foods has come to be seen as a panacea and how dietary theories are functioning as a modern form of religion. In terms of where to go from here, Jamie, I want to underline first that the symptoms you describe are very disordered. It can be extremely difficult to recover on your own when you're experiencing behaviors and thoughts like this about food and your body. So I'd recommend getting the help of an experienced treatment team if at all possible. I have a list of providers on my website that you can take a look at christyharrison.com/providers, which we'll link to in the show notes. And that has dietitians, therapists, and medical doctors who help with all kinds of disordered eating recovery. I know that many of them offer virtual sessions and sliding scales as well if finances are an issue for you. Finally, as to what, if anything, you might say to your doctor, you absolutely could tell her some of what I shared here if you feel like it would be helpful to express your anger and give her some facts about elimination diets. And maybe you have a chance of saving some of her other patients from that same fate, which could be a powerful motivation to talk to her. But I think you also have to be aware that it might not really land with her, and she might respond in a defensive or even a combative way. And so it's important to figure out for you whether you're in a place to be able to handle that. You know, would it make you feel worse and exacerbate the situation, or would it be cathartic and empowering even if she responds poorly? You don't have to do anything, right? You don't have to take on that responsibility of talking to her if it doesn't feel like it would be helpful for you at this point in your life. A good way to start might be to write her a letter with no intention of sending it, either on paper, like in a journal or in a Word document or, you know, your phone, but with your internet turned off so that you're not tempted to hit send right away. And if you're more of an auditory person, you might even speak it into a voice text on your phone or another program. And you can just say everything you want, you know, get it out on paper or in a recording, and then see how you feel, right? Look back at it or listen back to it and just, you know, recognize whether it helps to get the words out. It feels good, but maybe you also have some anxiety when you reread it or re-listen to it, or you have a vulnerability hangover. You know, if you have any of those feelings, try to just notice what comes up for you and let that letter sit. Don't send it. Just, you know, notice your feelings, right? Then you can come back to it and decide whether you want to send it or whether you want to, you know, use it as the basis for a conversation with your doctor. And eventually, with, you know, fresh perspective, you might see that it feels important to send it or to talk to her about it, or maybe certain sections feel important to send or to talk to her about, and you can keep the rest just as a journal entry for yourself, right? Or you might feel that you'd rather just find another doctor and move on for the sake of your own healing, and that is totally understandable. And that decision doesn't have to be final either, right? You could move on now to another doctor, work on healing from disordered eating, and then contact this doctor down the line when you feel strong enough to have that conversation and, you know, perhaps have it in a productive way, or perhaps just say your piece and let the chips fall where they may. Whatever you decide, though, I would say try to make sure it's right for you and your recovery, right? Rather than coming from any external pressure or guilt or feelings like you need to save other people from the same fate. You know, unfortunately, even if you were to talk to this one doctor, there's no guarantee that she's going to do anything differently with her other patients down the line, right? It just, she might just get defensive and possibly even dig in her heels, you know, and do it more. So there's no guarantee that talking to her would even necessarily move the needle. So try to make it not about that, but just about like whether you feel like it's the right thing for you and your recovery at this point. I hope that's helpful, Jamie. And thank you again for the great question. To submit your own question for a chance to have it answered either here or in my Food Psych Weekly newsletter or both, go to christyharrison.com/questions. Thanks so much for listening. And if you found this podcast helpful, I'd be so grateful if you'd take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. You can see all the places to do that at christyharrison.com/subscribe. This episode was brought to you by my second book, The Wellness Trap: Break Free from Diet Culture, Disinformation, and Dubious Diagnoses, and Find Your True Well-Being, which is available for pre-order now. Just go to christyharrison.com/thewellnesstrap to learn more and pre-order it for its April 2023 release. That's christyharrison.com/thewellnesstrap. If you're looking for some practical tips to help you heal your own relationship with food, grab my free audio guide, 7 Simple Strategies for Finding Peace and Freedom with Food. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/strategies to get it. That's ChristyHarrison.com/strategies. For full show notes and a transcript of this episode, go to ChristyHarrison.com/308 and scroll down to the bottom of the page and enter your email address to get the transcript. A big thanks, as always, to our editor and sound engineer, Mike Lalonde, community and content associate, Vinci Chui, and administrative assistant, Julianne Watasek, for helping me out with all the moving parts that go into producing this show. Our album art was photographed by Abby Moore Photography, and the logo was designed by Melissa Alam. Our theme song was written and performed by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs, and I'm your host and producer, Christy Harrison. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay psyched.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.